This is the 36th, the last, the final lecture in our series on practical ministry skills. And we will be talking about passing the blessing on. This is not in the book, Pastoring the Nuts and Bolts. But we will also be talking about something, and I ran this past President Ranga, and I appreciate his approval. Something that I think is very important to talk about because it is such a big issue in the world now, and especially in the Christian world, especially in certain parts of the world, particularly the United States, North America, Europe, and that is how to minister to the gay and transgendered community. So we'll be talking about that a little bit too. Our key verse is, speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. In the American culture, as I'm sure you're aware, whether you are in North America or just hearing, reading what's going on in it, the acceptance of the LGBTQ plus movement, people who believe they are either non-binary, and meaning neither male nor female, somewhere people who believe that instead of there being male and female, there is a spectrum, and people can be anywhere along that. That's the kind of the trans part of it, and then the other part is people who may very well acknowledge, yes, indeed, I am male, yes, indeed, I am female, but I am attracted to other people who are also the same gender that I am. Those of us not part of that need to beware of confusing the two, because gay and transgender are often lumped together and have many similar goals, but they are very different things, and I have heard some gay people very upset at being lumped with transgender and so on. Not that they think there's anything wrong with that, just that they think that's not them, and they don't want the two confused. So that's the culture. Because of that, or going along with that, or contributing to that, I don't know which it is, but in the United States, there have been a number of mainline denominations that have split over that issue. The Episcopal Church, various Presbyterian, I believe, Lutheran denominations. The United Methodist is in the midst of going through something where that is the presenting issue, at least within Methodism, probably within all of the other ones too. The issue of sexuality is just the presenting issue for deeper issues having to do with how we see the Bible and the authority of the Bible and how it should be understood and those kinds of things. But anyway, that's why I'm talking about it, because it is such a big thing. And, of course, anything that happens in the United States tends to try to spill over into other parts of the world. So if you are not dealing with this now, you well may in the future. Why am I talking about this, other than that I think it needs to be talked about? Well, I have personal experience in my own family and with colleagues of people who are gay and of people who are transgendered. And in my family as well as in congregations. Now, I want to be very clear that I believe the traditional, orthodox, historical position about these issues. But I also want to say that there are those on the, I hate to say the other side, but that's pretty much what it's come down to, who look at me and say, well, you allow women to preach, or you believe that the Bible supports women preaching. Why do you not believe it allows gays to preach? Because the Bible prohibits, there are verses in the Bible that say women shouldn't preach, and there are verses in the Bible that say gays shouldn't preach, and if you're picking and choosing, it must be, you know, your own eisegesis, reading into the Bible your own idea. That's what they would say to me, and I would say, no, that's not the case. I believe that a consistent hermeneutic, a consistent way of reading and understanding the Bible, allows women preachers, but does not allow practicing homosexuals. And the reason I say that is because the passages about women not preaching, as I think I mentioned earlier, are just a couple of passages from one author, from one culture, from one situation. And I'm not saying, when I say one author, I'm not saying he could be wrong. It's in the Bible and it's right. But what I'm saying is he was in one situation dealing with his situation, his particular culture, when he said he didn't allow women to speak or teach. But through that, that's the only place. And throughout the Bible, there are other examples of women who do speak and teach and lead and preach, even in a similar culture as his. So that's with the women. On the other hand, with the homosexual activity, it is proscribed, it's described, and it's proscribed as far back as Leviticus and Moses' culture, Hebrew culture of that, similar to Bedouin kind of culture, and in the cosmopolitan Greek culture of Corinth 1500 years later, and no examples anywhere in the Bible of anyone being mentioned as being gay and being in any kind of leadership. So that's why I say that those are two different issues. But let me say this. The Bible never addresses orientation or attraction, just practice. It never says you should not be attracted to someone of the same gender. It just says, among this long list of sexual activity that you're not supposed to do, which includes you're not supposed to have sexual activity before you're married of any kind, you're not supposed to have sexual activity while you're married if it's with somebody else that you're not married to, you're not supposed to have sexual activity. That means, therefore, while you and your wife or your husband are apart in different places, all of these, or if one of them is sick or not feeling well, or during the times of what was known in the Jewish culture in the Old Testament as uncleanness, these were all times when people were not allowed to have sex. And so having sex with somebody else of the same gender is just another one of those lists where it's the activity that is prohibited. And I know of wonderful people who love the Lord, who are attracted to people of the same gender, but because they love the Lord, they remain celibate. They don't act on it. Just as I know wonderful heterosexual people who love the Lord, who are attracted to somebody of the opposite sex, but because they're not married to them, they don't act on it. They don't do anything about it. So that's kind of the gay, but the transgendered, as I said, is a little different thing, and it's a new thing. The Bible talks about men and women not wearing each other's clothes, but there was no, they didn't have hormone therapy and sex change operations in the Bible, so it's not addressed there. So I really had to go through a lot of prayer and trying to figure this out when I was faced with a situation. I came into a church, followed a pastor who told me about two individuals that I was going to meet who were in the church. They had come to the church some years before, come to worship service, presenting as women. It turned out that both of them were biologically male, had actually been married and fathered children, and then decided that, no, they were really female. And so I believe both of them by that time there had been divorced, and they were presenting as females. And when they came to the church, my predecessor told me, they were both considering getting the sex change operation. They were planning to do that. One of them went ahead and got the sex change operation and was still attending the church as a female when I came. The other one, just prior to getting the sex change operation, had had a, through some counseling, had had a, as I recall it, a vision from God, a vision of Jesus, in which his sexuality, his identity as a man was restored to him, and he stopped dressing as a woman and resumed his identity as a man. He actually has his story out online. His name is Gordon Babcock, and he would love to have you look it up and read his story online. I had the privilege, a few years after I came there, of performing a wedding for between him and one of the ladies in the congregation. And last I knew, that was probably 15 years ago, last I knew they were still happily married. So the two came. One was changed, I would say delivered, and the other one went ahead and had the operation. This one who had the operation came to me for counseling, not having anything to do with the identity, but because I will use the pronoun she, because physically and everything now, gone through that operation and everything, I don't quite know what to do with people that are already at that, except love them. But she came because she was upset that she wanted to go on the women's retreat, and the women shared rooms on the women's retreat, and none of the women wanted to share a room with her. Women got upset with her when she went in the ladies' bathroom, even though she'd had this operation and everything. So, being a pastor, I was at first very sympathetic, and you know, this is a nice person coming to me, telling me a story, and I'm sympathetic and trying to figure it out. But then as I started praying and thinking and looking in the Bible, the Lord showed me a couple of verses that I think are very helpful in this conversation and how to approach it. And that is Romans 12:1. We've looked at these verses before. Give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So, the thing to do with our bodies is to present them to God. It doesn't say anything about changing our bodies. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. And now here's how the change is to be made according to God. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The transgender movement says change your body to match the way you think. The Bible says, give your body to God and change yourself by changing the way you think. In other words, don't change your body, change your mind. Whereas the transgender movement says, don't change your mind, change your body. So two opposite things, opposite ways of approaching it. And God promises, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I am not going to tell you that I know how to minister in all of these situations, especially, as I said, with somebody who has already gone through, I know how I would counsel somebody that came to me wanting to know, should I have this operation? But if somebody already has, I have never had to deal with that, and I can't tell you. I don't know what I would do. Pray, because if they're coming to you, they want God, and God loves them. There is no unforgivable sin, including any of the things we've just been talking about. As a matter of fact, no kind of sexual sin is any better or worse than any other. Homosexual activity is not any worse than adultery. It's any sin takes you away from God and stops people from God. So the way I would approach it is welcome anyone into your services, just the way you would welcome anyone who needs Jesus. Because then pray for them and then counsel with them if they want to, but just treat them like anybody else who needs Jesus. Because contrary to the propaganda that's out there, and I know people from personal experience who this is true, those who indulge in sexual sin or practice homosexuality, some of you were once like that. You were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. All the way back there in Corinth, Paul writes that people were being delivered from homosexuality. I had a family member who married somebody who was delivered from homosexuality. I told you the story of the man who was delivered from the transgender. So God can deliver people. God can change people. Welcome them into your services as you would any other person who needs Jesus. I would say, however, be careful about positions of authority that you might put them into, treating also anyone who still needs Jesus, treating them the same way. And speak the truth, not in judgment, not in legalism, but in love. All right, I want to speak a little bit about passing on the blessing. I showed you my current life verse. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. 2 Timothy 2:2. I am so excited about the way that God is using this book that I wrote and this teaching, and I am excited to hear how God is going to use these lectures, these videos. Pastor Manya in Kenya was the first one who got a digital copy of this book, Pastoring the Nuts and Bolts, in Africa, as far as I know. And he asked me if he could teach it. And he started teaching from the phone, taught a course, gave people certificates who graduated from it, and it led to organizing a Bible study because he passed on what he learned with nothing more than his telephone. He didn't have a printed copy. I think eventually he did get some money and print out one copy from the telephone. But he started by just holding his phone, reading a passage out in English, interpreting it in Swahili, talking about it, expounding on it in English and then in Swahili, and then going back to read the next one. Kelvin, also I believe he's in Kenya, maybe northeast Tanzania, but I believe he's in Kenya, but he is of the Maasai. He took his phone and got it in English and read it out in Maasai and wanted to do a translation into Maasai. He's still working on that, and pray for that translation. But the way he started it is he had his youth group, and he would read it in English in his mind from the telephone, translate it into the Maasai language, and his youth group would write down the Maasai that he said. And that's how he started the translation and the recording of the translation into Maasai. I just thought that was so cool. Pastor Tambe in Sierra Leone is organizing pastor conferences. I believe Pastor Sadiq in one of the Middle Eastern countries is planning to do that. If you would be interested in printing or distributing pastoring, I think I mentioned to you that we are trying to fund print copies for people who can't afford telephones, can't access digital. Message me. You can find me on Facebook at Pastor David Wentz. Share what you've learned. Pass on the blessing. There's a saying, you are blessed in order to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And don't limit your sharing to this course. Share Bibles if you can. There are so many people that don't have access to Bibles. Share other books if you have permission to share them. And share your own learning. Anything that you've learned, you can share. You can teach. You're doing that already if you're preaching sermons. That's a part of it. But if there are things that you've learned and you know other ministers who may not have had the same opportunity, share your teaching with them. You can teach everything that you've learned. And you may even be led to write and share your own books. I did this book, actually the three books I've written. I've done them through Amazon. I've self-published through Amazon. There is a place called Readsy online, R-E-E-D-S-Y, that for free will take what you have written and you input it, and then it formats it into, it does all the typography stuff to make it look good when it's printed in the book. Make sure you get somebody to edit if you're going to write a book. And it is well worth the money to get a professional cover. If you go on Fiverr, Fiverr.com or other places, you can find people who will do professional covers for very little. But I encourage you, maybe not yet, but think about after you have some experience or if the Lord puts something on your heart, publishing a book, writing a blog, doing social media posts are wonderful ways to pass on what you've learned. And one thing, there's a great need for children's material, especially in some of the developing nations. Write and share children's material for the young people in the churches. Pass it on. Well, I have been blessed to pass this on. What the Lord has shown me over the last, or it was when I started writing it, I had been a pastor about 30 years, and I ended up with 38 years experience, and that was a year or two ago that I retired from the last one. So it's been a while, but I have been really blessed to pass on what God has shown me. And I would like to close this course with a prayer for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. It is such an amazing thing to me, the technology that you have made available to allow us to share this training for free. At the same time that you are bringing such a move of God in so many parts of the world, I thank you for those men and women that are listening to this and watching this and taking these courses, for your call on their lives, for whatever kind of ministry you are calling them to. I pray that you give them clarity in hearing from you, that you give them a desire to share you, to know you better, to love you, to serve you, that you would help them grow into the fullness of the stature of the measure of the stature of Christ, and to help others do that. And I pray that all of them would help see that you get out of your creation and every creature all that you intended for them when you created them. Bless them with your comfort, with your presence. Provide the material things they need to live and to carry on the ministry. Provide favor. Provide wisdom. Bring the people alongside, the mentors, and then as they grow, the people for them to train and raise up. And we give you glory and honor, and I look forward to meeting each and every one of these in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.